Great, thank you. Wow, that's on. Let's see if I can move this a little further away. Is that better? You can like hear me echoing in this much small room. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be invited back again. You know, I know that I'm a little bit different, a little bit different in my delivery and my style from Billy and from some of the things that you'd hear from time to time. But I do feel like I enjoy speaking. I feel like God does give me stuff to share, and so I'm grateful that you give me a chance to share with you again. So today, I know that you guys have started on a new series about making spiritually healthy decisions. And so Billy had talked to me, and he'd asked me about this. Hey, Nick, can you do something? And so there was one big thing that stuck out to me as soon as he shared this. And so to kind of get us going, I'm going to share a little story with you. So Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. And so after dinner and a bottle of wine, they laid down for the night to go to sleep. Some hours later, Holmes awoke and nudged his faithful friend. "Watson, what do you see?" Watson looked up the sky, and he said, "I see millions of stars." And he's like, "What does that tell you?" "Well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of stars in the galaxy and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we are going to have a beautiful day tomorrow." "What does that tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a minute, then spoke. "Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent." You know, sometimes when it comes to making decisions for our own spiritual health, sometimes the most obvious things pass us by. Sometimes we miss the forest for the trees, and we go for these giant plans, and we try to make these grandiose, schemes for ourselves that we can be better spiritually, but sometimes the simplest things are the things that we actually need. You know, the things that we actually really need to focus on. And so I know that the new year has come up, and this is actually the first Sunday of the new year. And, we're in this spot where a lot of people like to start new things, right? Shout out to everybody who's reading Genesis right now. You know, I hope it's going great for you. You know, but it's time to add a new initiative, or we started a new reading plan, or we've done something new. We've decided we're going to pray more, or we've come up with whatever it is. And then we look around at the world, and the world is, you know, trying to do things professionally. And so, you know, we look at social media, and we remember that everyone else is winning at life, and we're losing, you know, because that's what we see on social media. You know, and there's so much going on. There's so much pressure to do more things, to act, to be better for your children, to be better for your job, to be better in your 401k or whatever. And there's so much stuff that we kind of feel day to day that we should be doing, that we're not doing, that we're failing at. And so, you know, in the new year, sometimes we assess those things. We're like, all right, we've got this long list of things. All right, I got to do this. 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 Got that project in the house. Got to get the kid into that new program. Got to do these things in my career, in my business. Got to get this new certification. Got to do this. Got to get that education together. And we heap these things upon us more and more and more. And we think it's helping, but I'm not so sure it is. I'm not so sure that's actually making us better. If you would, turn your Bibles to Exodus 14. I want to introduce our topic by looking at this passage, and then we'll go from there. But Exodus 14 is this interesting passage. It's a passage that I think that we can relate to, but also gives commentary on how we should react in these moments. Exodus 14 in verse 10. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified. They cried out to the Lord. They said, "Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone and let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die into the desert." Moses answered the people, "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You know, I can just imagine people kind of seeing these things coming, and this is like, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest military, you know, assemblies in the world coming after these people. And I mean, they're justifiably terrified. They're justifiably, you know, really anxious in this moment, and they're coming up to Moses like, what are we going to do? We are going to die. I hope you have a plan here. We got the army in front of us. We got a sea behind us. This is not good tactically. What are we going to do? This is your fault, by the way. We would have been fine in Egypt. I don't know if you know, but we were fine back there. They weren't fine. But in that moment, they felt like they would have been better. And so they're freaking out, and they're like, we got to do something, Moses. What's the plan? And I imagine Moses being like, first of all, Bruce, chill out. You need to sit down, and you need to shut up, and you need to wait for God to do his thing, because that's what he's all about. You didn't come out here to do things for yourself. You came out here because you expected God to deliver you. Let him do that. Let him deliver you in this moment. I totally understand where they're coming from. You know, I think that sometimes, you know, we know that God will help us out, but only if we're working, right? You know, God will do something, but I better make sure I give him something to work with. In this moment, he's like, no, you need to stop. You need to be still. There's nothing that you can do. You need to trust. I don't think I would have liked it any more than they did. I think that one of the first and most important spiritually healthy decisions we can make is just to stop. It's just to be still. And that's weird, right? That pause right there that I gave you? It feels weird. We're so used to noise. We're so used to things going on. We're so used to the phone being out if nothing's going on that when there's no noise, we get uncomfortable. These are moments that we need, though. Spiritually, we need those moments to be quiet, to be still, to have moments where we reconnect and that we reflect on who we are before God. I want to pray real quick as we kind of continue in this. And I want us to focus on being present. I know that you have other struggles. I know there's other stresses you have in your life. I know there are things that you need to get done and that you worry about. And as we pray, I want you to really try your best to focus and to be present with God in this moment. Let's pray. Dear God, I just pray that you move through me in this moment, God. I pray you help me to speak your words, to allow the Spirit to move in a way that he desires in this moment, God, and that we would be present, Father. I know there's a lot to worry about. I know there's a lot of things that plague our thoughts and our minds, but God, help us to be present. Help us to focus on you. God, help us to honor you in this moment. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. If you guys would flip a few pages to Exodus 23. Resting, being still, is something that God has incorporated into his commands to the nation of Israel. And when they're going through things, he expressly tells them in multiple passages, I need you to stop and take a break. Which is weird because our society doesn't revere people taking breaks. You know, we actually revere workaholics. We don't call it workaholic. No, he's a hard worker. Man, he's working every day of the week, you know. On the weekends, he's working on his house. During the week, he's working at his job. After work, he's doing this and that. And we think, man, that guy is awesome. That guy is doing the most. But then we look at the Bible, and God is like, actually, I don't actually like that too much. That's not actually what I want. He's not doing that for me. He's doing that for him. And I think that sometimes it's hard because work becomes our idol. And that we feel like, well, if I put in enough work, then I'll be successful. That God will bless me. But that's not actually what he says all the time. In Exodus 23, there's one verse in here that I love, but, in verse 12, in 23, it says, 6 days, do your work, But on the seventh day, do no work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. The interesting thing is that the Sabbath is a gift. You know, this idea that we have a day to rest, to relax, to refresh ourselves, is actually a gift from God. But sometimes we don't see it that way. We see it as like, well, here's the thing that God has placed upon me, and so now I need to sit down and read my Bible all day and pray, and then God will be pleased. And God's like, no, I just need you to take a break. I know you're working hard. I know you're just doing whatever you can. I just need you to take a break. Just take a break. And the interesting thing is that the language for some of these things, you can see it in Exodus 31, you can also see it in Jeremiah 17, is that the language of the commands almost imparts an understanding that people would reflect on this day. Why are we taking a break today? Oh, we're taking a break because God asked us to, because we're supposed to remember that He is in charge, that He's got us. You know, the Sabbath is a day for us to reflect, to take stock of where we are, to look at the week, to look at the coming week, and to kind of take a break and take ourselves out of the situation for a moment. Because we need to. You know, sometimes it's sort of like we're dying from 1,000 cuts because there's all these things piling up and we haven't taken a step back to really see it for what it is. You know, and he commands Israel to do these things because he's like, listen, I did it, you do it. You're supposed to be like me. You're my people. This is what we do. We're like each other. We're holy. And the interesting thing is, like, you know, he says that this is the thing that makes you holy. In verse 30, in Exodus 31, he says, if you take a Sabbath, in doing so, you will be holy. Which is interesting because I'm like, well, taking a day off, does that actually make you more spiritual? Does that mean? No. He's like, listen, this sets you apart from the world. That's what it is to be holy. He's like, you're set apart. You don't do things the way the world does. You don't see the world the way the rest of the people do. And so when you approach the world, God is like, listen, do things differently. Be different. Be holy. And so when we take a break, we're being holy. Science actually says it makes you healthy too. There's a ton of things that stress and overworkedness exacerbate when it comes to your health. My wife can tell you all those things. She's a nurse. She's going to be a nurse practitioner soon. She's been practicing on me. And she can tell you all the ways that stress makes the smallest health things get worse. Stress comes in and it can just ruin your health. The interesting thing is that also in Exodus 23, I always thought this was interesting, but there's a Sabbath law about planting your field. You know, so for 6 years, you're supposed to work your field, you're supposed to plant stuff, and then God says in the seventh year, you're supposed to do nothing. You're supposed to just leave your field, let widows, let orphans pick it over, whatever it grows here, but you're just supposed to not touch it. And he's like, and you trust me because in the seventh year and in the eighth year and possibly the ninth, you'll still be living on your harvest from the sixth year. That's kind of incredible. Imagine if your employer every 7 years was like, all right, this is your year off, Bob. That's incredible, right? I mean, if you could take a year off every 7 years, I mean, that would be incredible. You'd be like, hey, it's year six for me. I can't wait for that sabbatical. But that's what God is saying. He's like, listen, take the year off. I would love a year off. But I don't know if I could handle it. I don't know if you can handle it. Because, like, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? Where's the money going to come from? How am I going to eat? But this is like, listen, you need to trust me. You need to take that break and trust that I will provide for you in the way that I promised. Resting is very faithful. It's not something we see as faithful. We're like, well, no, praying and fasting and reading, but that's faithful. But taking a rest, taking a break from your work is actually faithful. It's kind of crazy, right? We don't tend to think that way. In Hebrews 4, it also references this, that people didn't enter the rest because they didn't receive the message of God with faith. When God asks us to do things, you know, I'm under the impression that we do them, right? That when God asks us to do things in the Bible, that we're like, okay, yes, I'll do that. Not, well, in today's society, that's cool and all, but I don't really take breaks because that's not what people do. People didn't take breaks then either. But God is like, listen, you are different. I have got you. I am taking care of you. do this and trust me. But that's challenging. I don't know if I'm totally there yet either. Even this week, I'm guilty. I'm preaching these things. But I had my job, and then I had an opportunity for a freelance, you know, job come in, and I knew I was preaching, and so I took the freelance job. I'm like, I can do this. And I've been working every spare minute this week. My wife has been like, hey, I miss you. And I'm guilty of that. You know, it's hard for me to not work. It's hard for me to set things aside and just to be like, listen, you know what? This is a day that's untouchable for me. This is a day that I'll relax and I'll take a break. If you would jump ahead to Matthew 11. I think that sometimes I also kind of get in this other mentality where I feel like if I'm not praying all day, if I'm not reading my Bible for hours on end, that I'm not honoring the Sabbath as I should. That I'm not doing the things that God wants me to do. So if you go to Matthew 11, if you look down in 28, it's a popular passage. But Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's also I've been using the Amplified Bible lately. The Amplified Bible is basically, it'll give you the passage, and then in brackets afterwards, it also give you kind of how it also could be translated. You know, here's this passage, and then it also could be translated as this. So in that first verse, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened. And then in brackets in the Amplified Bible, it says, by religious rituals that provide no peace. There's a connotation when they wrote this that this burden, this thing that you're burdened by is by religious rituals. And he's talking to people who have been under the oppression of the Pharisees. That they're supposed to divide, you know, when they're looking at giving to God, that they're supposed to give a tenth of their spices. You know, can you imagine, like, dividing up grains of salt? You know, like, well, I have this much salt, and so I'll, you know, or cumin seeds. You know, like, well, I've got 10 cumin seeds. I better give my one cumin seed for contribution. It's like, that's crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. And so when Jesus comes and he's telling people, he's like, listen, I want you to rest. Are you tired? Are you burned out? You know, in the Message version, it's kind of interesting. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. And I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's what the Sabbath was designed to do. Was to allow us to live life in such a way that life doesn't actually get to us. That the Sabbath is designed for us to unburden, not to heap more burdens upon us. And so when we're looking at making spiritually healthy decisions, it might be better if we start to look at our lives and look at what we could cut out. I know my wife and I, we're realizing more and more how much social media is just poisonous. You know, when you see these things day in and day out, how people look and how people present themselves. And, you know, half the time it's not real. But it seems real. And it seems like you're not keeping up. And it seems like you're not as beautiful or as youthful or successful as the people around you. Maybe I need to look at cutting out what I digest, how much media I'm ingesting. I've just heaped too much stuff upon me, and I'm looking at the checklist and not the time with God. You know, a lot of us, you know, we'll read a ton, but we're not actually spending quality time with God. You know, like, well, this year I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. And so we read the 10 chapters, we check it off the list, and we haven't actually spent any time with God. God has been there in the background, but we didn't actually connect with him. I know that sometimes I'm guilty of this, is that, you know, I feel like I need to have a new plan for God, and I'll figure out a reading plan, and I'll start to do that, and I'll find myself getting to mornings where I'm like, well, got that done, on to the next thing. And I don't connect. I don't know if you guys are guilty of this. Maybe I'm alone, but, you know, sometimes we just don't, we follow the Sabbath in word, but not in deed. So if you look at it, even Jesus, Mark 6:31, he says, come on, get some rest. Come on, get some food, get some rest. You've been working hard. And Matthew 8, Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is taking a nap. In Matthew 14, Jesus got some alone time. Just went out. He's like, listen, I've been working hard. There's just been too many people. I need some alone time. You know, in Mark 14, verse 3, you know, he's relaxing, reclining, and someone actually douses him with perfume. You know, Jesus was essentially at an impromptu spa. But there are these times where Jesus invites people to relax. Jesus invites people to take time for themselves. Jesus invites them to spend time with him, to eat, to connect. And I think sometimes we miss that. You know, that we make God out to be this sterile being that doesn't enjoy time with you. God's like, listen, I need you to take a break so that you and I can spend some time. I don't know about you, but if I'm looking to be close to my friends, I don't schedule more activities to accomplish. I don't say, all right, well, you know, we're going to go do this thing. We're going to go, you know, accomplish this thing. It's like, listen, I just want to spend time with you. Look, how can we spend time? I don't go and read a book in their presence, be like, all right, you know, I know some people are like, hey, let's spend some time together. Let's go watch a movie. I'm like, well, we're not really spending time together, are we? We're near each other, but we're not really spending time together. And the interesting thing is that in a lot of these passages that talk about the Sabbath in particular, there are always these phrases that talk about, like, for your future, honor the Sabbath. Or so that you may be refreshed, honor the Sabbath. You know, there are these promises that God gives us that you know, we're supposed to come away refreshed. We're supposed to do these things because it's supposed to be best for us. And so, you know, when we look at these things, we look at our walk with God, I think that some of the things that we need to ask ourselves is that, well, I mean, are we actually enjoying it? Are we having fun, you know, with our faith? Are we actually connecting with God? Like, I know that sometimes we just kind of get up in the religious thing and we're just doing the religious stuff and going to the religious meetings, but we're not actually having fun. It's just, hey, that's the obligation that's been placed upon me. That's a dangerous place to be in. And I think that one thing that we don't do is that when we look at the time we take for rest, the time we take to connect with God, we look at how it's meeting our spiritual needs, but we don't look at how it's meeting our emotional needs. I know for me, I can read my Bible as much as I want, but if I don't get enough exercise, I'm just not okay. I'm just not okay. I tend to be grumpier. I tend to be more depressed. I tend to be angrier at things. I'm just not the same. And I noticed it more in the winter months than I do in the summer months because it's much easier to exercise. But in the winter months, if I don't have that exercise, I am not emotionally okay. Just something I realized about myself. There might be things for you too. That if you don't have enough alone time, you know, moms, if you don't have that, you know, you love your kids, but sometimes you just need space from them. If you don't have that, are you being emotionally refreshed each week? Fathers, I mean, do you have that time for space to reconnect and just to for things to be quiet? You know, I think sometimes with us, we just need peace. I don't need the stress. I don't need this. I don't need that. I don't need the budget. I just need peace for a little bit. You know, sometimes for me, I also really love to play soccer. And so it's been one of those things that I had an injury this year and I couldn't play and it was so hard for me. But, you know, sometimes I just need to chase a ball and not think about the world. It sounds dumb, but it works for me. And I'm sure there are things for you, too, that there's just things you need to go out and do because they help you. They help you to recharge emotionally. There's this interesting story that I heard a while back, and I tried to look up the exact story that it was referring to. I couldn't find it, but I found multiple other stories that kind of reaffirmed the truth behind it. Basically, there was this one season of crab fishing where they lost 3 ships in a short period of time. 3 captains. I can't remember if the captains died or not, but 3 ships were lost. All these captains were veteran captains, decades of experience. You know, this wasn't their first rodeo. They knew what they're doing. They knew how to sail a ship. And so they lost these boats. And so as the Coast Guard is investigating, they just couldn't figure it out. I mean, the seas were rough, but it was, it's the ocean. It's going to be rough at times. You know, that's not a big deal. And the winds, I mean, it wasn't that bad. They just, they're looking at these things and, like, it just didn't make sense. And so as they started researching it, as they started looking into the wreckage, they realized that, one of these boats was only rated for about 35 traps, but it was carrying 50. And these traps aren't small little traps. I mean, when you look at king crabs, those traps were like 800 pounds apiece. It's like half your car is sitting on the back of this boat. And so they'd stacked up 15 more. You know, that's about 7 tons more than they were supposed to carry. 7 tons more than they were supposed to carry on the back of that boat. And so they go to these other fishermen and they're like, what was he doing? Why would he do that? And like, that's what everybody does. That's just the nature of the game, is you have to carry more traps so that you can be more profitable. They're like, everybody in the harbor is taking more traps than they're rated for. And so it didn't make sense to them. Like, well, if that's what everyone's doing and these guys sink, like, what happened? And so they looked at it, and even with the overload, even with the rough seas, even with the high winds, any one of those things was not enough to sink the ship. But all of them at the same time was. With the most experienced captains, the smallest issues all arriving at the same time are enough to sink the best captain, are enough to sink the most seaworthy vessel. And sometimes we come into our lives spiritually and we have the same burdens going on. We have the same issues happening, and any one thing at a time is fine. Issues with the kids, we can deal with that. Job, we can deal with that. Money, school, individually they're not a problem, but when they all come together, they present a catastrophic failure. The Sabbath is designed for us to manage those issues, to get space, to get distance, and to make sure that those things don't all plague us at the same time. If we are not resting properly, if we are not taking time to connect with God, to take time to step back from the things in our life, then we are in danger of failing in the same way that these captains did. Where we're just like, I'm done. I'm going to check out for a while. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm done. For us, to be healthy spiritually, I implore you to look at your Sabbath. I implore you to look at your time with God. Are you really taking time to rest? Are you really taking time to emotionally recharge? Are you really taking time to connect and not just read your Bible or pray? And so, church, I love you, I thank you, and I just want to give you permission to take a break. Thanks.